Yes.
Okay, so we're recording again.
Yes. Welcome to Kind of Epic Show. I'm David.
And I'm Kurt.
Look, we didn't miss it this time. We just got right in there.
Oh, we did. So we weren't rambling?
No.
Oh, yeah. But we just got done. Well, David had already finished the show. I hadn't finished it, but we just finished watching Hill House. And it's interesting as a show, we talked about this last week, is that it starts off really spooky. And then the last episode is such an emotional heartstring puller.
I think at the time I had only watched, the first three last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the sixth episode, we talked about.
I don't, we hadn't talked about it. No, we talked about it in person, but not.
On here. So, for the third episode, the sixth episode, which is the halfway point of the show, pretty much.
Episode five is, which is a big, big reveal about one of the spirits that we have been seeing throughout the show.
Yeah. That point. Then the sixth episode, cinematically, is a stunning episode because it's... How many... Did you actually sit down and count
I did cuts? Not count how many.
Okay, so...
I know the first one that you notice is when it instantly goes back to Luke.
Yeah. So there's possibility that this entire episode, which is probably about an hour long...
Yeah, yeah.
...only has, from what I would say, is about four cuts.
Yeah, just a handful.
So, which, for those of you who don't know anything about filmmaking, that's really, really difficult to do.
Yeah, think of it as, you're shooting a stage play.
And it's a continuous, every... Yeah. For actors to know their lines
and blocking, yeah.
And anticipate each other's movements and everything, that would take literally weeks of preparation for that one episode.
100%, yeah.
And then not only your actors do you have to prepare that way, you have to prepare your set crew.
Yeah.
So that people will be out of the way, walking out of the way. You won't be able to see your own camera in a reflection.
Yeah.
It is on par with a lot. It takes...
Not only that, but even the set. Did they build a separate set, or was that the same one? And they just had... Every time we see the funeral home, is it always actually still connected to Hill House? The actual set?
It probably is. Realistically speaking, of the sets that they had designed, there was probably Hill House, the funeral home, Theo's offshoot house, mm-hmm. and maybe a dozen other rooms.
Yeah.
Two or three more rooms.
Yeah, Steve's wife's living room or...
Yeah, but still, the ability to transition through all those studios and all those sets...
Yeah.
I can't give this show enough praise, not only for how spooky it first starts off, how the middle episode is so well done, and the ending is so heart-wrenching. The last time I felt emotions like this, so I never... My eyes were not...
You were crying.
I was not crying.
You were crying.
I had a big lump in the back of my throat. The last time I had
seen... You were moved.
I was moved. I will say that. But the last time I'd actually been this moved by a movie or a TV show, because I never saw it as a kid... Because I wasn't interested. Is one of these days I was just like, oh.
Old Yeller?
Nah, fuck it. I still laugh at Old Yeller. I did that as a kid. I had laughed at the ending. But the last movie that I saw that moved me was Big Fish.
Okay.
Which has got a really heart-wrenching ending.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
It's a beautiful movie. I love that movie. So what else is in it?
Well, I feel like we could almost do a whole hour on Hill House. Yeah, I highly recommend it. I can't recommend that show enough. Go to your Netflix, put it in your queue, and watch it.
It's a good show.
Perfect for Halloween.
Perfect for Halloween. So, as we said, the first half is very spooky. The second half is all, everything is coming to an end, and then the last episode is just so moving.
I think one of the best performances came in episode 8. It was Theo letting everything out to her sister.
Yeah, because she's such a closed-off character, and then she's just letting it all out.
All out. And it was... I think my eyes watered in that scene. I was moved in that scene more than the ending. She is just, it's felt like raw emotion.
Actual genuine emotion, not an actor.
Yeah. And it's all peaked because there's a a very well done jump scare that kicked it off.
You know, it's funny, after the fifth episode, the ending of that,
yeah,
I didn't get any more jump scares. I was always expecting it.
Yeah, there were a couple. There were
because without spoiling too much, because I don't want to put a spoiler tag on this. Without spoiling too much, you find a spirit that that was creepy becomes benevolent.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. There is gonna be a sequel.
Oh, there is.
Yep. It's not a one-off season. These characters might be done, but we will find more out about Hill House.
You know what would be interesting is if they do a prequel.
Well, so it's interesting. All these ghosts that are seen throughout the show, they each had backstories written. They all had backstories written.
All of them.
The creators plotted out entire episodes that would be based on
each
ghost. Or entire, what could be entire seasons based around a family. Like, we could get the Hills. We could get...
the original builders.
Yeah. We could get all that.
What I want to know is... and I really hope they don't use this, because when you get... now, I'm not saying that ghosts are real. I do keep myself open to the possibility that there are spirits out there.
I 100% believe in ghosts.
I've never seen one. I've experienced things that would lead me to believe, but I always leave up to the doubt, because I'm never a 100% take something as fact guy.
Yeah.
I always like the idea of...
do you have animals around a lot?
Animals?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a dog when I was growing up.
So
yeah, they're very sensitive to the supernatural. I've heard that.
My parents' house, I've always believed it to be haunted. And then, I want to say maybe 6 years ago, one of my parents' dogs, it was, they were asleep or something, like, my parents were asleep, but one of the dogs, a two-story house, stood at the bottom of the stairs at about 3 o'clock in the morning and just was perfectly still. I was down watching a movie. The dog was perfectly still at the bottom of the steps, just looked up, and then just went fucking ballistic, barking at something at the top of the staircase. We've heard footsteps up and down those steps for years.
It's been crazy. I just hope that if they do the Hills like that, yeah. I hope it's not like it's an Indian burial ground. I don't want it to be a Stephen King knockoff. I want it
to
be like...
well, this is based on the
book.
Did
I ever tell
you
about when I studied abroad, how I actually came into contact with a presence?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's a good
story. Halloween, guys, by the way.
Oh, yeah, happy Halloween, by the way. So when I was studying abroad in the UK, I was at a place called Harlaxton Manor, which was built in the late 1890s by a guy named Gregory. And so, yeah. Definitely sounds very noblistic.
Yeah.
But, Gregory, just like a lot of mansion, like, you can actually see this, Harlaxton Manor on the show Victoria.
Okay.
There are, episodes that shot on site there. So, you can find pictures of Harlaxton Manor, the place where I studied. It's great. It looks the same as when it was built back in the 1890s.
Neat.
It's super well preserved and everything. But back to my story. So, a lot of families lived through this house because Gregory, the guy who built it, died about 4 years after its construction was done in the house. And then he would pass it on to his descendants. Even though he didn't really have any true descendants, it was all through cousins and stuff like that. And one of the most well-known things about it is that the person who owned it in the 1930s was back during the 1920s and 30s when there was a big spiritual... rave about having seances and having are you looking up Halloween music? Are you trying to play Halloween music over this? Is this funny music or scary music you're playing? Okay.
Well, I guess it's not the kind of Halloween music I was wanting.
But so this is a house that has had seances in it, which is probably very spiritually charged. And it's during the weekends, usually what happens is students would go, because we'd have Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays off because we would only have class from Mondays to Thursdays because they want the kids to travel as much as possible. This is one of the weekends where I was at the manor with only a few other people who didn't travel that weekend. And it was honestly, I remember seeing this on my feed because it was about a week ago that this happened to me. 4 years ago, not a week ago, but 4 years and a week ago, that I was just, I was looking around the manor because it's a massive manor with a bunch of servants' quarters. Like, there's two buildings. There's the manor and then there's the servants' quarters. I slept in the servants' quarters, like which was off-site, which was also the carriage house. But the actual manor is where all the classes were held and stuff like that. And one of the things they told us at the very beginning of the year is we have had reports from people who stay in certain rooms that there are presences here. Regardless if you believe in ghosts or not, seances were held here. This has been investigated. It is a spiritually charged area. So when you go, when you're by yourself, just keep your wits about you. Not in like in a threatening, menacing way they said that. It's just like, oh, these are little trickster spirits or stuff like that. They're not really like they're going to murder you in your sleep or whatnot. So I'm perusing around the manor, and as you do, you go into different rooms, you just look through the libraries, you look through the master bedrooms, you look through all these interesting stuff, because it's an old mansion, and it's a really cool looking building. Are you really playing What's-His-Face's theme?
Just continue.
What's his name? Was the guy with the mask, Michael's theme?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just put on the soundtrack.
Okay. So, as we're does that record directly into our microphones or directly into...
No, it's going through the microphones.
But it's, like, so soft.
I know, because I have it down low.
Okay. So, along with that, searching around through the place, they also give you a map of, like, what it is now and what was then. So, I'm walking through the manor, creaky floorboards and whatnot, so it's an old place. And I go into the room which was at one point the nursery. So I'm not even fully stepped into this room. I look in, it's a non-used classroom for that semester. So as soon as I put my left foot forward into the doorway, not even into the room, out of the corner of my eye, the lights are off, it's probably about 2 in the afternoon. So midday, not time when you expect to get spooked. Because usually spooping happens at like night. So, out of the corner of my eye, I see the door start to close on me. And these are manor doors. These are relatively big, heavy doors. This one, not so much. This one was more of a standard, like, my kind of apartment door. Like, probably weighs at maximum 20, 30 pounds. And so, instinctively, you see something out of the corner of your eye. You put your arms up to protect yourself. So, put my left arm out to protect myself from the door closing on me. And as I put my arm out, I notice at the bottom of the door, there's a very big, thick brick. Like a 2-pound brick that's keeping this door open. And I'm like, huh, that's strange. This door should not close. So the door is still closing on me, and it hits my arm. And what I'm expecting to be like a 20, 30-pound door turns out to be a 60, 75-pound door.
Oh, geez.
Push.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's no windows open, so there's no reason for air. There's no reason for any type of wind to be pushing. Mm-hmm. The moment my arm made contact, though, with the door, and I instinctively noticed that it's that flight or fight response you have. It was like, this door is heavier than it should be. That's when the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And what was it? There was a sound. It was either a sound or a smell that was associated with it. So I have the physical sensation of something actively pushing against me, not wanting me to go in this room. And there was also something else that triggered not just back of the hairs on my neck to stand up. Was it a smell? I feel like it was a smell. It wasn't a sound, because if it was a sound, and if it was a voice, I would have remembered it. It was probably just a smell. And after that, I noped out of there real quick. And it so happened to be that somebody was giving a tour of the manor to just, like, weekenders who come in here. It's like, oh, this is a cool place. And I know this lady by name. I'm like, Emily, I just had a haunting experience. And they're like, oh, yeah, those happen here all the time. Why don't you tell these people what you were seeing? So I took them back up to the room. And that's when I found out from Emily. She's like, oh, this was actually the nursery at one point. And I'm like, well, that's terrifying. They're like, oh, yeah, this is one of the more hotspots rooms. So the hotspots rooms are the nursery, the library, which is where the seances were held, or the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also heard from students who also study there that there was also figures that would be above the beds in the master bedroom. So it's not that I don't say that I didn't see a physical apparition. That's why I don't truly fully believe. I'm more of a sight person, but I did have the sensation of touch and smell. So I'm open to the possibility that things exist mm-hmm. beyond my understanding, but I'm not sure how else to put it that way.
Man, I have so many experiences.
You should tell that story experience that you had at Sun King not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. So our work's definitely haunted, 100%.
It's haunted by the Asian nail ladies who owned the place before we had it.
Apparently. Kevin told me someone was actually shot and killed on our premises. Is that...
I've not heard that story.
I don't know if it's true. I haven't looked it up.
I think he did it just to spoop you a little.
No, he told me that unrelated.
Huh.
Do you have any liquor?
Do you want some liquor?
I think it would go well with it.
I mean, I literally have, like, whiskey that's mixed in with apple cider already.
Oh, yeah.
Or would you like just straight whiskey?
Throw a dab of that in there.
The
Yeah, I think that would go well with it.
Okay, don't I'll you? Be right back. Go ahead and continue your story.
So, yeah. Anyways, I end up being...
Would you like some pumpkin seeds?
No. I'm good. Roasted?
Fried? They're not really good.
Yeah, then definitely no. Anyways, I'm at our work by myself a lot. And you always hear things that seem like... you know, like something's not quite, like doors shutting. Mostly you hear a lot of doors shutting that shouldn't be shutting and stuff like that. I've never seen anything at night when I was there, but there was one morning where I was there at 6 a.m. doing a full clean behind the bar, and I catch something out of my eye. And it's, so I was down at the closed off end of the bar, and whatever it was standing.
So realistically, David, you were about, I'd say 20 feet from where?
Yeah, about 20 feet. And I was frozen. I could not look away from that spot. I couldn't see anything, but I was transfixed.
So this is 6 in the morning, but also in the summertime. So the sun's just now starting to peak up, right?
It wasn't quite yet.
But would you say it's dusky?
Yeah. The earliest possible amount of sunlight.
But still not complete pitch black.
No, okay. No. But whatever it was, I couldn't take my eyes away from that spot. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where you just are like frozen.
I mean. Have I ever been frozen?
And I was like, frozen today. It was enough to where, like, the emotion that came over me, I started to cry.
Was it out of fear or out of some other complex emotion you couldn't describe?
I can't describe the feeling. Like, I mean, I'm even getting goosebumps now talking about it. Like, I cannot describe what it was that caused that reaction.
Because I remember getting a snap from you where you were tearing up, like, dude, I literally... And you took a picture of it.
Yeah.
So for my end of the story, David's like, it's 6 in the morning, so I'm not up yet. So I'm checking my snaps. It's early in the morning, and there's a picture of this end of the bar. It's a little bit dusky outside. And he's like, dude, I literally just saw something go. So, and then he sends a picture of his face with him tearing up for some reason, and he says, I have no idea what's going on. Then tell him what happens next.
So our bathrooms have motion lights, and both of the doors are shut, but it's kind of in that same area. Can you actually see the men's bathroom from the bar?
Well, I mean, if you're standing at the Brody.
Yeah, if you're standing at the Brody, you can see both of the bathrooms. But I walk down there, I'm the only person in the building. The lights are off. Like I said, they're motion. They go off on their own if there's nothing there. And I walk down. I finally can move, and I walk down to the end of the bar, and the light in the women's restroom is now on.
For no reason.
For no reason.
So I also get another snap from David the same way. So, like, this is still early in the morning. I have no idea what's going on. And then he tells me later, he's like, dude, I think this place is haunted. So I was being all jovial and joking about it. But then he walked me through it, and I was like, I don't think I've ever had a haunting experience in where we work, but I have noticed that when it's like the music's off and everything is clean and there's like maybe two people in the whole building, it feels a little watched, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for definitely.
But I wouldn't describe this presence, like I wouldn't describe the presence that I came into contact with it at Harlaxton as malicious. It's not benevolent, but it's not malicious. It is. It. I think it just wants attention. It wants to be known.
Yeah. So back to my parents' house. I can tell you stories.
Can you taste the whiskey in this though? Very.
Yeah.
Very faint.
Very faint. At my parents' house, there's so many stories. I kind of wish my sister was here because she has her own experiences in the house. She always had the corner room. I have two older sisters. The middle sister.
So the one who comes and visits us?
No, that's my oldest sister.
Okay.
That's my oldest sister. The one between me and her.
Okay.
She had the corner room. Her room was always cold. It was always dark. And I know she had experiences in there where she would almost... Her stories almost sound of those of sleep paralysis.
Have you ever had sleep
paralysis? I have not.
Okay.
I have not.
Before you finish your story, let me tell you about sleep paralysis. Yeah. So in that episode of The Hill House where we talk about...
Oh, yeah. They do have an episode on there about sleep paralysis.
I will say this. Sleep paralysis is terrifying. I've experienced it a few times. I've never experienced it in this apartment. I've experienced it at my old house. It's just like they describe in the show. You wake up, your eyes open up, and your brain's awake, but your body is not responding to the pulses you're sending it to.
Yeah.
So, the first thing that goes through your through your mind is, I am in limbo. I feel like I'm dead.
Yeah.
My arms aren't moving. You start to whimper, like just like she did. Like, yeah, like you literally start to whimper and stuff like that. Or like, here's another example that I've had. Like, this I have had happen in this apartment, where I will be speaking out loud, in my dream, and then I'll notice that I'm also speaking out loud in my bed.
Yeah.
One of the funniest ways I've ever woken myself up is I punched my wall. Like, I was sleeping, and all of a sudden I punched my wall, and I just woke up. I'm like, okay. That's a weird way to wake up.
Yeah.
But sleep paralysis is exactly how they describe it. Is you're completely it takes like 10 to 30 seconds for your body to fully wake back up because it needs to send the wake up signals to your muscles. And in those, you feel like you're a prisoner in your own body for like those. And those 30 seconds are 30 seconds reality, but they feel like minutes.
Yeah.
It is one of the most terrifying things that I can say that is experienceable.
But my sister, when she would have these moments, she would always see the same figure, just a cloudy shadow figure in the corner of her room. Mm-hmm. She would, every time she had one of those episodes. But we also had a basement. That's where we did all the laundry. It wasn't a finished basement. It was mostly for storage. She encountered him down there a couple times.
Him? It's a he.
Yes. That one she definitely identifies as a him.
Hmm.
We have that one, which that one only ever seems to, she thinks it's more attached to her than the house itself.
So she thinks that she's personally haunted.
But we also have another one, which we've all know that one is there. We believe it was my grandmother.
Okay.
My dad first experienced it when they got back from her funeral.
Did your grandmother live with you?
No. No. She died of breast cancer a month after I was born.
Okay.
So I've never met her, but yet I can feel that she's there.
So she's more like a guardian angel, you'd say?
Yeah. And okay. It almost feels like she was there for my sister.
To protect from that other
brother. Yeah, for like a guardian angel to this dark being.
Did this dark being ever feel, from what she describes, as malicious?
No, just present. That's probably the biggest thing from her side, and I never had any experiences of feeling like that. There was one time. So my parents have their room has a walk-in closet that has a window that you can only see from the outside of the house.
Yeah, my parents have a similar thing.
It's like whoever owned the house before us put up, made that probably little area of their room into a closet and decided to put up a shelf in front of it or something. But you can't see the window from the closet. Like, if you go into the closet, the window's not there. It's only on the outside.
Huh.
But, I was mowing the grass one day. I just had to get out of the house. It was one of those things, it was like, I don't feel comfortable inside the house right now. I'm going to go outside and do something. So I decided to mow the grass. I was probably middle school, high school. It was a random weekday that we had off, or summer vacation. I forget what it was. But I was in our backyard because that window was in our back, the back side of our house. And I couldn't take my eyes off of it. For whatever reason, I was just drawn to that window. Hmm. The entire time I was mowing the backyard, I could not take my eyes off of it. I didn't go back into the house besides our garage to put up the lawnmower until someone else came home.
I've also had an experience at my parents' house. A psychic, I told this story a while ago to my coworkers at the Swedish furniture place. My mother has a friend who's a psychic, and I'm not entirely sure if I believe in psychics or not. I just believe that they might be a little bit more sensitive than a normal person to certain emotional ranges. Yeah. But she had told my mother that she had always been followed by a little girl's presence. Now, my mom attributes that to because she had so many miscarriages. That one of her later miscarriages is this force that follows us. That in that was, I don't know why, but apparently it's like a 6-year-old girl who follows my mother around, according to this psychic. And one day I come home from my pizzeria place, work, and I'm the only one home because my parents are out of town.
Where did you work?
Do you know Monocles?
Marcos?
Monocles.
No.
It's not good pizza. don't sue me for saying that, though.
I can't.
So I get home from the pizzeria. It's probably about 9:30 at night. And I'm home. I go into the living room. And I notice that all the lights are off in the house except for like the ones that I had just turned on when I walked into the house. And upstairs in the guest room, which is one door down from my bedroom, the lights are on, and I think to myself, huh, that's strange. Nobody's here. Why would these lights be on? So as I walk up the stairs, I also start hearing some noises, and it's not like screeching or anything. It just sounds like somebody left a TV on.
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, there is a TV in that room. Because that's where I would sneak off to watch Adult Swim and stuff when my parents were asleep, is I'd go into that room to watch, like, Robot Chicken and Family Guy. So I walk up to that room, and it's the same thing. It's as soon as I put my left foot in, the doorway, not even into the room, the doorway, both the lights and the TV shut off. They were on. They both shut off. So I immediately noped out of that room real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And I went downstairs, and I stayed in the kitchen for the rest of the evening until my parents got home, which was, like, 2 hours later. So I didn't sleep, because I didn't feel comfortable in my bedroom, because it's right next door to it.
Oh, yeah.
That was a weird experience, but ever since that experience, I don't... The spirit that occupies my parents' house, I would say I've felt its presence. It's definitely... I would say it is a female presence, but it's not... protective. It's not, but it's not malicious.
Gotcha.
It is. It wants to be noticed. And sometimes when I was playing video games in my basement by myself, I would hear like moaning through the heating vents. So I would just be like, "Okay, you can leave me alone now. I understand you're there. Just let me play Halo in peace, please." And it would stop.
One of the first experiences that I can recall was my mom was, she was out she was out of state. She was on a work trip. She used to do them all the time when we were little. And my dad used to work, nights.
Mm-hmm. Like third shift?
Third shift.
Okay.
So it was me. I don't know where my oldest sister was at the time. There's a 7-year gap between me and her, so she was probably in high school running around with her friends. But it left me and my middle sister there by ourselves. And our upstairs bathroom didn't work. The toilet didn't work. The shower and everything did. But my parents had a bathroom. So we would often use their bathroom. And I was laying on my parents' bed, and my sister was using the bathroom. We were just talking. I think I may have had the TV on or something. And I told Crystal that I heard something downstairs, and she was like, "Well, I can't just stop what I'm doing." And this was probably 7-8 o'clock at night, not all that late. And we didn't have any inside pets at this time. We had a dog out back, but mm-hmm. never have an outside dog. It's one of my biggest regrets of my childhood is having an outside dog. I would not allow that to happen now.
Why is it?
I have too much love for animals. I never felt like you got enough attention. But I thought I heard something downstairs, and all of a sudden I'm kind of freaking out at this point, and it sounds like it's getting closer, and I'm like begging my sister to come out of the bathroom, and all of a sudden I just hear something run up the steps, and my parents' door is right there at the top of the staircase. And I am yelling. I am screaming. And where it should have been at the door, nothing there.
Did you just fart?
No, that was outside. I think it was a motorcycle.
Okay.
But I shit my pants in the story.
Did you?
No, I didn't actually, but I couldn't. I can't even like describe what that possibly could have been, because I was terrified. Mm-hmm. Something should have, by that point, been in front of that door.
So the door was closed, or was the door
open? The door was open.
So there should have been something.
There should have been something there, and there was nothing there. Yeah, like. I was freaking out, and my sister was then screaming at that point to like.
She heard it.
Yeah, well, she heard me. I don't know if she ever heard the steps.
But she was just like, "Let me finish shitting."
Yeah, right. One other one I have that this was actually not all that long ago. I think it was shortly before I moved out of my parents' house. So within the past 5 years. I have a shit ton of comic books, as we know.
Yeah.
I had my long boxes lining one of the walls in our upstairs, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was going through looking for stuff because I couldn't fucking sleep. And I'm always up late. I'm a night owl anyway.
What time do you go to bed usually?
Depends. Last night I was up until 2, woke up at 7 today.
I went to bed.
You wonder why I drink so much coffee at work?
I went to bed at like 11 p.m. sharp, and I woke up this morning at like 9 a.m. sharp. Oh, no.
You sent a text super early this morning.
I woke up at 6. That was my second cycle.
Gotcha.
So, and then I woke back up from my second cycle at 9.
Gotcha.
So I had 3 cycles.
So anyways, I've already told you all this shit in the house, so when you're like, why the fuck would you be in the upstairs hallway at 3 in the morning? I don't know, I was just going through my comics. I wanted to organize some shit. And I got shushed from my sister's room with nobody in there. No, I mean, it was only me and my parents at that point.
You weren't making any noise, though, were you?
I mean, I was being a little loud in the hallway, going through my comics that were right there by her bedroom door.
And you were shushed.
I was shushed. I
like
shh. Yeah, like right there, like right here. And I freaked the fuck out. I ran into my parents' room. I was just like, oh fucking shit, I'm 20 something year old adult male running to his mom and dad. Pretty much. I was like,
can I sleep with you guys today?
No, it was more like, it was more like, guys. And I'm like, what? It's like, I just got shushed in the hallway.
Go back to sleep, Jesus.
That's pretty much, well, they turned on their lights and they're like, typically, my dad's the lightest sleeper in the world. Like, there were times, like, my bedroom was right next to theirs. There'd be times where, like, I had to just turn on the subtitles because my TV would wake him up. Mm-hmm. No matter how low it was. And he was like, well, you weren't actually being loud enough to wake me up, so. Yeah.
So, what do your parents say about this house? Have they experienced anything?
Oh, yeah. They do all the time.
But that's because of your grandmother, correct?
Yeah. And that was my dad's mom. He just passes it off to them. And now the house is now filled up with animals, like small animals. They have 2 small dogs and a cat and now a German Shepherd. And a lot of it is easy to pass off. Does that make sense? I think it eases the mind a little bit. Because now if you hear some strange noise in the kitchen, you're like, damn cat. Mm-hmm. Even I noticed that a little bit. It's like, I don't fully believe that this is now the cat, but it makes it easier?
Yeah, it's a suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. It's just now there's an out to it. Mm-hmm. And if the dogs start barking at something, oh, the dogs are barking at the fucking cat. Or something, you know?
Or something. It's understandable.
Oh, there's another one I'm trying to recall. Just another creepy moment. So my grandfather passed away on my mom's side 8 years ago.
Okay. So within your living memory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe not even that. Maybe 6 to 8 years ago. And my mom brought a bunch of stuff home from his house. And my grandma's still alive on that side. But my mom brought a bunch of stuff home. And I was in the way we had our living room set up at the time, there was a chair that could look straight down the hall into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I was watching TV, and she brought some stuff into the house and set it on the table. And maybe an hour later, she caught me staring down the hallway at the table from that chair. And she was like, what are you looking at? And I'm just like, what in the world is in the kitchen? What is down there? Similar to like the sort of situation I had at Sun King, where I just couldn't take my eyes off of a spot. Like there was something there. She brought in a bunch of old photographs. that were just sitting flat on the table. And I just told her she needs to get those out of the house. It's like, you shouldn't have those here. And I never looked at the photos. But I didn't even realize that she put something in the kitchen when she came home. Had no idea. And feeling went away as soon as she took them back outside. She took them right back out to her car.
Creepy.
She was creeped out. She was creeped out by it. Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you this.
I got head from a ghost, and just like a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, just like Dan Aykroyd. So my middle sister that has most of the experiences, mm-hmm. She is now a practicing Wiccan. She actually blessed the house a couple times
with white sage.
Yeah, and I don't want to call them hex bags. They're like the opposite of hex bags.
Feel good bags.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dime bags.
Yeah, but they're now placed throughout my parents' house too. And from my experience, she probably did this about a year before I left the house. That last year never experienced a thing. You can actually go visit her pretty much all month of October down in Irvington. She's one of the stops on the Irvington Ghost Tours. So.
Hi, you don't know who I am, but I'm good friends with David.
Yeah, I mean, sure. She would be excited.
You know, you should get her on here to talk about these experiences. I think that'd be a good episode.
I think this has been a good episode.
This has been a good episode.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's just
so, David, tell the listeners, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh,
because I saw your costume. It looks good.
That was for a Halloween party. I don't even know if I'm going to wear it past that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I might end up making it a cosplay costume. Upgrade some pieces. But,
Is that Goten or Goku?
It's Gohan.
Gohan, okay.
I went as the Great Saiyaman to a Halloween party the other day.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty solid. Pretty solid. It's posted on our Facebook page. Check it out.
I still haven't...
Nobody knew what the fuck I was. So that was really sad.
Nobody's gonna get my fucking outfit. I've already talked about it. I have yet to put it together. Like, I have all the pieces set. I just haven't put the final pieces together yet.
Are you working Wednesday?
I am. I'm working at my other job, and I work there until 5. And then as soon as I get off at 5, I'm going over to visit you guys.
I am off on Halloween.
Are you?
I am.
Are you going to show up and get a beer with me at 5?
Yeah, in costume.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking A. Yeah, I'll be there. Then we can go Pokemon hunting in costume. For this Halloween event, try to do some legendary raids in costume.
Yeah, that should be fun.
That'd be fun.
Except everybody's going to think, well, I'm one thing when I'm not.
Well, nobody knew what the fuck Great Saiyaman was.
But I mean, my costume is so iconic, the first thing people are going to say is, oh, look, it's Gandalf. Because I'm repurposing a Gandalf outfit.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's bound to happen. Oh,
but
so...
But I've already got a workaround for that.
Yeah?
I've got a workaround. Name tags? No, not that. Not just that. Gandalf. Gandalf, along with most of... you can turn up the spooky music now. We're not
it's still Halloween.
Spooky. Okay, whatever. We're not talking about spooky stuff anymore.
I'm about to talk about Halloween.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me finish this, though. So, apparently, J.R.R. Tolkien took a bunch of inspiration from the Prose Edda and the Poetic Edda, which is what Norse mythology is based
yeah.
on. And one of the dwarfs that are named from the early creation myth is... All the dwarves, literally from The Hobbit, are all named by name, and he just took them straight from there. And one of the dwarfs' name was Gandalf. So the way I'm going to work around that is like, oh, you mean the dwarfs of the smithing race? The dwarf of the smithing race.
Awesome!
I can't wait to be in character all day trying to sell kitchens. It's gonna be fun.
Doesn't seem practical.
It's not gonna be
okay. Oh, so Netflix also has to keep on the Halloween vibe. I can't wait to start watching it on Friday, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I cannot wait for this.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Hell yeah, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
All grown up?
No. I'm gonna pull up the trailer for you.
So is it a new series?
Yeah, it's a new series. It's from the creator of Riverdale on the CW.
So it's
Sabrina is a Archie's comic character.
Okay.
So
are they gonna put her as a teenage witch again, or are they gonna have her the actress who played her before?
No. It's It's Sally Draper from Mad Men. You watch Mad Men?
Never seen Mad Men. So not spoopy.
Just wait. Missy. Right?
Doesn't look spoopy.
No. It definitely looks fun.
Definitely looks very occult.
Yeah, well, the book that it's based on. So Archie's has a line of horror comics. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the books. It was The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, as well as like Afterlife with Archie, which is a zombie apocalypse in Riverdale, which is awesome. So fucking good. And then they have like one where Veronica's a vampire who hunts other vampires, and one where Jughead's a werewolf. They just have fun with their characters and make horror stories out of them.
I wish they would make more horror stories, though.
I mean, have you watched Riverdale?
I've never seen it.
Well, there you go. All those stories are on Riverdale. Anyways, yeah, that comes out Friday. Can't wait. It looks like a lot of fun. And I know the cat's going to talk to you, so that's fun. Oh, music's playing. We've gone long.
I guess we've gone over.
Yeah. Oh, let's pause that. We went short last week, that's why.
That's why.
So, the last couple minutes here, I did go out and see Halloween.
Okay, so one of the funny... I think I talked to you about this meme, is about how people were making such a big fuss about Jamie Lee Curtis wielding a gun.
Yeah. Fox News was making a big deal out of it.
And the joke was, if she's such an anti-gun user, why is she using a gun in her movie? And the meme was like, what do you expect her to do? Force feed Michael Activia till he shits himself to death?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the mental picture there just Michael shitting himself to death, I think is funny as fuck.
Michael does a lot of things in this movie.
He does. Isn't he supposed to be like in his 70s as well?
Yeah, yeah. So, real time, it's been 40 years since the first Halloween.
Which was the mid or late 80s?
1978.
70s?
Yeah. It's been 40 years.
Huh.
It's a sequel to the original Halloween. None of the sequels happened.
Okay.
Which is interesting because Halloween 2 takes place on the same night. It picks up immediately after the first one. It's even been erased. It never happened. And this is a direct sequel to the first one. Michael has been in an insane asylum for the past 40 years. And they do away because in Halloween 2, you find out that Lori was Michael's sister.
Mm-hmm.
They do away with that family
connection
and just go back to it being Michael is just this killing machine. He doesn't have a reason for what he's doing. It's mm-hmm. random. And sure, he wants to go back and finish what he started 40 years ago. Sure.
He wants to kill that girl that got away.
Yeah. And he goes... This is probably the largest kill count in any Halloween movie. It's pretty impressive.
So the 70-year-old dude is just good at killing people?
Yeah, you kind of see it in one of the trailers where he goes and like picks up a hammer from this woman, old lady's tool shed and then goes in the house and just beats her with it. Then he grabs a knife.
Huh.
And then he moves to the next house.
So he's just going house by house?
Pretty much. And it's awesome. It was so well done. And...
So at the ending of it, does he die?
Does he?
So, I'm not going to see that movie.
You should. You really should. Because it's written by Danny McBride, first off.
Who?
Eastbound and Down, Vice Principals, Your Highness.
Oh, I love Your Highness.
Pineapple Express.
Okay, this guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
A horror movie?
Yeah, well, he wrote it. He wrote and produced it. And,
but there's no comedic nature to this movie.
No, there's a lot.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. Like, it's funny, but still completely respects what it is.
Hmm.
There's a little black kid in it that stole the show. One of the people that gets killed is babysitting him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just super funny with her. And then when Michael comes and, like, attacks the house. Like, she goes up to bed, and she comes to check on him, and he's like, oh, my closet door's not shutting. Could you try to shut it for me or whatever? And she goes over, and Michael's in the fucking closet and breaks out and, like, goes after her, and the little black kid's just like, oh, fuck this, and then runs straight out of the house, never to be seen from again. he just gets the fuck out. Doesn't call the cops or anything. He gets the fuck out.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Yep. Yeah, it's entertaining as hell. And one of my buddies, he's never seen any Halloweens. He went and saw it because it's getting great reviews. And just like, sure, why not? I'll go. And he's meeting me later tonight to watch the original because he loved it so much.
Hmm.
It's what the slasher genre needed today. Because it's pretty much been a dead genre for a decade. You've had attempts to bring back both Freddy and Jason. Didn't quite work, but this might do it. This might reinvigorate the slasher. It was so good. Highly recommend it. The audience I saw it with, I saw it opening night last week. The audience was cheering. The audience was laughing. And the audience was screaming. It was awesome. But the cheers were great, too. It's like any time that Michael killed somebody,
Yeah!
Oh, yeah, it was great. And then there was an applause. So, have you ever seen the original?
I haven't seen any. I don't watch slasher movies.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun.
Never had any interest in them.
But that typical... So, in the first one, Michael falls out of a second-story window. And you look down, you see his body there for an instant. You look away, look back, and he's gone. That happens in this, but it's reversed. Michael throws Jamie Lee Curtis out of a window. He sees her body, and then, like, looks back, and she's gone. The audience fucking erupted in with cheers. It was perfect. It was so perfect. She is such a badass in this movie.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Complete badass. So I can't recommend it enough. If you're a fan of horror, go see it. If you just want to have a good time for Halloween, go see it. All right.
It's about that time. I need to get ready for work.
I finally put on some pants.
Yeah, I'm not wearing any pants. Well, I'm wearing pants, but I'm not wearing, like,
Pants.
I'm currently sitting in, because I had a little bit of a hangover this morning, matching top and pant pajamas.
That's awesome.
You need to get yourself a pair. Like, I cannot
say. I need a robe.
Like, this is like when you're hungover and you're sitting on your couch in this, you just feel like.
I don't shit on my couch, Kurt.
Okay. I see your argument, but I raise you this argument. There's enough poop particles in your farts. Fart on your couch.
On my crotch?
That too.
Yeah.
You fart on your couch, therefore you do shit on your couch.
Okay. I'm David West.
I'm Chris Steiner.
Find us on Twitter at Kind of Epic Show, also on Facebook at Kind of Epic Show, and all the time at kindofepicshow.com.
Have a good one, guys. Spoopy.
Yeah, so yeah, go check out Haunting on Hill House, Sabrina, and Halloween.